Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
He did it. Super Wild Card Weekend is here. And Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, who are presented by Progressive Insurance, where guests will join us on the Goodyear Hotline, are ready and raring to go for all of this. Like, we know some stuff happened in the NBA last night that we can get to, and we know that one of the Power 5 conference commissioners said some stuff today about, you know, expansion and the playoff, and we'll get to it, but Chris, we got an expanded slate of playoff games coming up this weekend here, so it feels like that's where we're going to live today, because I'm genuinely excited. Like, this has turned into, starting last year, one of the best weekends of the calendar sports year.
No doubt, especially with playoff expansion. And Gojo, we don't have that many football Fridays left in this football season, so we need to savor and enjoy every single one of them, starting with this one right here, because I think we got some pretty interesting matchups that lend themselves to some teams need to be on upset alert.
Yeah, they do. There's a lot of teams. This is one of the most wide open playoff fields, and whether it's per ESPN's football power index, the betting lines, anything else, with what we've seen, more parity than ever this season, it feels like a very wide open slate. But there's also a lot of, like, good pressure storylines, narratives, and stuff like that that everyone seems to be trying to get out ahead of right now. Because, Chris, the one thing we know going into this weekend, and you are someone, again, Super Bowl champion with the New York Giants, you have been through the run that all these players are about to go on right now. There's no denying, based on how we kind of judge, especially quarterbacks in this league, we're getting ready to go down a stretch that is going to be career-defining for a handful of players.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, the postseason is where you build your legacy. Most players will tell you, you make your money in the regular season with the stats and all the accolades, but where you get immortalized is what you do in the postseason, and that's especially true for quarterbacks. So when we start to put some of these guys under the microscope and see that they haven't had the success that their talent would suggest they would when the stage is the biggest and the lights are the brightest, I think that's when we start to talk about whether or not they're going to be able to live up to the expectations and whether they'll be able to perform under pressure. And so we've got quite a few quarterbacks playing on Wild Card Weekend that fit that bill.
And I want to hear from a couple of them, because we've talked about a few. Obviously, Dak Prescott playing for the star, all the pressure that comes now that he's gotten his payday is going to be up there. But this really seems to have a patient zero heading into this weekend. And that is one Matthew Stafford, quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams, who they gave up the King's ransom to bring over there and replace Jared Goff, who always looked like he was wearing his older brother's pads. And Matthew Stafford came out this week in their press conference and said he is not worried about any of that.
Every time I step on the field, I'm proving myself. You know, whether it's a preseason game, a regular season game, practice, a playoff game, I want to go out there and play well. You know, this is just another opportunity to do that. This is a team game, there's no question. But at the same time, do I know that when the quarterback plays good, you got a better chance to win the game? Absolutely. So I'm always trying to go out there, you know, play as good a football as I possibly can, help our team win.
Do you feel more pressure now than you felt in Detroit?
No, I mean, it goes along the same road, really. You know, I feel the same amount of pressure every time I step on the field. If you step on the football field and you don't feel pressure to go out there and perform, then something's wrong with you, in my opinion. So it's, you know, it's positive pressure that I put on myself to go out there and help our team win.
Chris, the only thing I could think of was, why you always lying? Why you always lying? Like, I understand for Matthew Stafford, he was a number one overall pick, so he has always had a bullseye on his back. But man, he can read the room and see, I have always been the guy that's had the organization blamed for him. I had the team pay big time to get me over here. Like, I think it's okay to admit where it goes, yeah, this is going to be one of the more important, if not the most important stretches of my football career. And that's okay to admit.
Yeah, to borrow one of your phrases, man, you ain't got a lie to kick it. And I got to look at Matt Stafford with that strong side eye when he made that statement. This is not a preseason game or your run-of-the-mill routine regular season game. This is a postseason game. This is an opportunity to compete for a championship. And most times when Matt Stafford got into the dance, he knew he didn't have a team that he was capable of being able to go on a run with. Now, while we all assume that he's a force multiplier because the arm talent would suggest that, he's got an opportunity to prove it now in the postseason, because this offense is built around what he does well, which is being able to throw the ball down the field in the vertical passing game. Like, everybody was oohing and aahing at the beginning of the season, seeing what Sean McVay was able to do and the limitations of this offense finally being, you know, taken off because you moved on from Jared Goff and you got a quarterback that can stretch the field and challenge every single level of the defense. Now it's up to Matt Stafford to be able to deliver on that and have that talent and that production translate to his team having success. So he's going to be right there in the middle of the bullseye in terms of what people are looking at Super Wild Card Weekend, and everybody wants to know whether or not he can deliver against a division opponent that he should be familiar with.
And a lot of this conversation is going to go his way. It's going to be really interesting, Chris. One of the things we talked about when Stafford got brought over here was him and Sean McVay had both been in the same spot where we had someone else to blame when things went wrong for them. You mentioned Matthew Stafford had the Lions. Sean McVay, we had Jared Goff. And so we got them both out of those situations and put them here. But even sitting here now, this seems like the entirety of it will be far more of a referendum on Matthew Stafford than it will Sean McVay. Like, that does seem to be the one guy that right now is getting to skate. Maybe if they get bounced in Wild Card Weekend, or even if they get bounced next weekend, I mean, anything short of a conference championship is going to get picked over with a fine-tooth comb. I just wonder if we're going to come for Sean McVay at all in this, or if the rest of the team's performance is enough for us to say, hey, it's still not your fault.
Yeah, we're probably not going to come for Sean McVay because we all remember what the Rams were before he took over, and lest we not forget, he did get Jared Goff and that team to the Super Bowl in 2018. So it's not as if Sean McVay can't coach. It's not as if he can't put together a game plan that can result in playoff wins. We've seen that from him. We haven't seen that from Matthew Stafford. He's 0 for 3 in his playoff games, the times he's made it to the tournament. So this is a matter of Matt Stafford showing up and proving to everyone that he's capable of being a quarterback that can win playoff games and, moreover, capable of playing championship-level football. And so that's what everybody wants to know. That's what everybody wants to see. So him saying that he's just approaching this as an average game or his normal game, That's not true. Now, I understand the mentality of it. I know that players are process-oriented. We're creatures of habit, so you want to go through the same routines. You don't want to change up too much because you think it can lead to, you know, having adverse effects or changing the results that you're used to getting on the field. So I get what he's talking about. But when you get out there on the field and it's a playoff game, your heart starts beating a little bit faster. You know, palms get a little sweaty. The atmosphere is different. It's electric. There's a lot more energy in the building. And you can't help but be affected by that once you get in the mix with those games. So for Matt Stafford, I hear what he's talking about, but I'll tell you this, that's not true. I've been in the playoffs with three different franchises, had a chance to win the Super Bowl with the New York Giants. Every single time, that nervous energy, that anxiety, all of the buildup, you feel all of that as a player. And the guys that are able to channel that energy into being more productive on the field, into being hyper-focused, are the ones that are going to help their team and give their team a better chance to win.
I thought for sure you were going to say vomit on your sweater already, Mom Spaghetti.
I was going there, right?
I could feel you kind of building up with the flow right there where I thought it was
going
to be.
I felt like I was going to stop right short of it. I felt I could walk right up to the line and then just stop.
Tiptoe up to the edge
there
and
you
then
go.
Look right over. But it is so true. I mean,
it would be fitting. We're talking about Matt Stafford, 8 Mile reference, right?
Listen, exactly. You can take the quarterback out of Detroit, but you can never take the Detroit out of that quarterback. Even though Matthew Stafford, I don't know if you'd ever look at him and think Detroit. He feels a little more country than that, but either way, it's all accurate. I thought on Swaggoo and Perk, Kendrick Perkins and Marcus Peer's podcast, I heard Marcus talking about his experience in the national championship when he was at LSU and how all of that, he went into that the night before the game, in the middle of this game, thinking that if they lost, it was going to be all his fault. And he said, after I got done with that game, all I wanted to do was lay down. I went back home. I ate with my girlfriend who would become my wife. He goes, I didn't have the energy to go do anything else because I had made it so much, put it so much on my back that pressure was overwhelming. And your point is well served. It is how you respond to that. But that lives there for anyone heading into those situations. It's why we fall in love with cats like Joe Burrow who walk into these games and don't seem to ever flinch in the face of all of this. But again, I don't know why it's so really taboo to talk about it. I get these quarterbacks got to give us the robot answer, but
yeah, it just doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, I understand the psyche of an athlete, and you don't want to give the perception that anything phases you, but you got to embrace it, Gojo. I mean, that's why Bill Parcells used to say this all the time. It's why you lift all of those weights. It's why you do all of that off-season conditioning, to have the opportunity to compete in moments like this. Like, there's 18 other teams around the league that are going to be watching what you guys are doing this weekend. So it's one of those situations where you want to embrace that moment, and to be dismissive of all the fields that you're going to go through, I just think you're setting yourself up for a little bit of failure. But that's just me. That's just how I see it.
That's just a couple guys calling it from the cheap seats right now here. However, coming up next, in about 30 seconds, we're going to give you another quarterback's approach to this kind of pressure this coming weekend. We also want to hear from you. Be a part of Canty and Golic Jr. Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. That's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. The college football season's over, and fans are celebrating their victory. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. We want to know who your wild card player is going into this weekend. Who's the guy on your team that you think is going to affect this game, have an outsized impact on it that maybe not enough people are talking about here? Who can swing the balance and is that wild card player? But again, we'll head over to Rain Dakota Prescott and see how he is dealing with that same brand of pressure after this word from Body Armor. All right, guys, let Body Armor Light help you achieve your fitness goals this year. Body Armor Light's the low-calorie sports drink hydrating your active lifestyle. It's got flavors like berry punch, coconut, and no artificial sweeteners, no sugar added, and only 20 calories per 16-ounce bottle. Athletes like Diana Taurasi, Donovan Mitchell, Megan Rapinoe, they all use Body Armor Light to stay hydrated, so why not give it a try? My poor brother just texted me today. He is out of Body Armor Light. He is wailing. He has no idea what to do. He is lost and aimless without the sweet, sweet nectar of Body Armor Light in his life. That's what you need to get in yours. From now until April 30th, buy $20 of any Body Armor product, and you're going to earn $10 in fitness cash, all towards select fitness retailers nationwide. Learn more at bacommittofit.com. That's bacommittofit.com. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, and it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Lose Yourself by Eminem. Chris, did I ever tell you the story about how my dad inadvertently introduced me to rap music?
No, you didn't, but I got to hear this one.
So when I was a kid, 8 Mile had just come out, and my dad, you know, again, longtime ESPN radio host, 9-year NFL veteran, and at that time, father of three kids who were all getting into sports, wanted to try and show us some examples, outside examples that weren't just him, about how you need to give your all and be ready for your moment and work hard so you can capitalize on it. And so we're in the car, and I'll never forget, I'm in the third row of my parents' Suburban back
then.
The third row. I somehow landed in the third row, despite being the oldest. Explain that one to me, Chris, first of all. But I'm sitting back here in the third row, and my dad's up in the front seat, and he goes, guys, it's me and both my siblings in the car. So I'm probably like 11 years old, my brother's 10, my sister's like 6 or 7, something in that range, whenever 8 Mile came out when I was around middle school. And he goes, guys, there's this song I want to play for you guys, and it's all about working hard and being ready for your moment here so that when you go out there, you're finally ready to capitalize and go and do your best. And then all of a sudden, he turns on Lose Yourself, and I'm like, all right, this stuff's kind of hot. Little did he know, I went and found the rest of the album and then the rest of Eminem's work. And then, like most suburban white kids, was introduced to hip-hop through that, and the rest was sort of history. So while my dad attempted to motivate, he actually just led me to a lifetime of music with way better beats.
Golic Senior unlocked Pandora's box for you when it came to rap music.
It was one of the more inadvertent wins for dad in his career history of dadding.
And that's an interesting way to come to rap music, of all the kind of stories that you could potentially have for how you get introduced to rap music. Your pops, that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I didn't have to go and like find my way to Strawberries after school and go buy CDs without my parents knowing or anything like that. Like, he just brought it straight to me. So, Dad, appreciate it wherever you are. Love you, man. Great stuff. But in addition to that as a motivating tactic, we never really got to worry about motivation for the folks in the Dallas Cowboys uniform. And Dak Prescott, who had to listen to his owner, Jerry Jones, you know, the grandmaster of everything over there, come out and say, oh, yeah, it is Super Bowl or bust for this team. Dak Prescott made it abundantly clear that he is not concerned about the chatter or the noise.
We don't care what people believe about us outside of these walls, whether they think it's good or not. We're excited for the matchup. Obviously, it's a playoff opponent. You've got to respect them and what they've done. It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a war, and we're exactly up for that.
So, Chris, obviously he's going to also play the straight-laced quarterback card in this, but what did you make of Dak and how he's kind of getting ready to approach this?
Yeah, that's cool what he said, but, I mean, he is responding to what somebody from within those walls said about his expectations on the team going into this playoffs. Like Jerry Jones, the team owner, said it is championship or bust. So I get that there's a lot of hype around the Cowboys. It's always like that, especially when they're in the playoffs. But when Jerry Jones said it, you have to acknowledge, like, that is the expectation around here. I don't understand why people don't want to embrace that. I think it's something that you have to use as fuel, as motivation. When all of the guys are seeing it the same way and understand what the agenda is, I think that only strengthens your team. I mean, to sit there and say, well, we don't want to talk about it and we're not looking ahead and we don't care about the expectations of others outside of this building. Like, there is an expectation that you have amongst yourself. And so that's the part where these quarterbacks are missing the mark a little bit from my perspective, because I've been on a championship team and I know what those conversations in the locker room are like, and everybody understood what the goal was. It doesn't mean that you skip steps in the process and you take each opponent as they come, but you also recognize that there is a bigger goal in mind. And that's the part where I don't understand why people shy away from it.
No, especially in Dallas, where, like, there's no hiding from any of that. You can be a team that goes on a surprise run. You can be a team, quite frankly, like the Titans right now, who we're all just content as the one seed in the AFC, to leave them the hell alone and make them prove it to us. That spotlight's going to be on Dallas every step of the way for all the obvious reasons that we know here. And for Dak and company, I mean, I was very surprised yesterday, Chris, when we had DeMarcus Ware, your former teammate, Hall of Fame finalist, and former Dallas Cowboy, when he said he felt like there was more pressure on Dak Prescott than there was Mike McCarthy heading into the matchup this weekend and in this postseason in general, because while I respect his opinion, I couldn't disagree more simply out of the job security aspect. But from a football sense, is DeMarcus right in that?
I don't know about that, man, because it's not like Dak is an old quarterback. Yeah. Dak is in his late 20s, so I think the Cowboys' window as far as being able to compete at a high level is wide open. When you look at the pieces that they have on offense, when you look at what's on the defensive side of the ball, I think they've got another 2 or 3 years. Now, it's going to take some finagling with their salary cap, but the thing that I'm overwhelmingly concerned with them in the playoffs is their head coach being able to manage the game when it comes to clock management, timeouts, situational football. And then also, Gojo, to add an extra layer to this, you got two coordinators that are going to be in high demand during this hiring cycle in Kellen Moore and Dan Quinn. Does that put more urgency? Does that put more pressure on all involved to be able to land this plane and go ahead and get it done this year? I think that's a huge question mark, too. Let's keep in mind, man, Dan Quinn is probably responsible for the biggest turnaround of any one unit in all of football this season, what this Dallas Cowboys defense has turned into. And I heard Bart Scott, who comes on before our show on Bart and Hahn, say this yesterday, that it's not a real big deal and we're hyping this Dallas Cowboys defense up. This Cowboys defense is as advertised. They're a damn good unit. I don't care that they're 19th in total yards. They're 7th in points allowed, which is probably one of the most important metrics when you're talking about defense. And then they're number one in takeaways. They can create pressure on the quarterback. They create negative plays. This Dallas Cowboys team in the second half of this season was led by their defense, not their offense. So that's legit. You got to give Dan Quinn credit, and that's why a lot of other teams that have head coaching vacancies are going to be looking at the Cowboys defensive coordinator.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. I think that's a great point between the coordinators, between some of the aging pieces that they have paid on that roster who have started to succumb to injury as the season's gone along. You can look at their offensive line in that way. All of that makes it feel like the clock is ticking a little bit more on this Dallas Cowboys outfit, because like you said, there aren't a lot of, outside of a couple of those defensive pieces, young men involved in the core of this team. So we can get to more of that. We can also 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 in honor of Super Wild Card Weekend. The wild card player for your team, the one player we're not talking about that could swing the outcome of the game this coming weekend. We'll get to that, but coming up next, the other Bucks were in action last night, and it started to look like we may have poked the bear a little bit too much. Next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Candy and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty, and we have to get to the Milwaukee Bucks and the absolute beating they put on the Golden State Warriors last night in the NBA. I came home and I was not, like, I walked in, I was like, oh, you know what? I forgot this game is on here. This would be a good one. Klay Thompson's back, all that stuff. Yeah. We got into the second quarter and I was like, all right, well, I guess I'll go shower and start to get ready for bed, because that was as thorough an ass-whooping as I have seen in quite a while.
Yeah, the Bucks led by as many as 39, and when you got Bobby Porter shimmying when he hits threes, you know you got a problem. Like, you expect Giannis to get his, which he did, a 30-point triple-double, and then Chris Middleton dropping 20-plus, but, I mean, you don't expect a 20-piece nugget from Bobby Porter, so the fact that that was happening, that just lets you know that the Golden State Warriors are in one. They've lost four of their last five, and Steph Curry saying that he's in a slump is an understatement. The guy is struggling. The last five games, Steph Curry is 27-77 from the field and 9-35 from three. That's not good, Bob. So it's just one of those situations where their best player offensively can't get it going. They can't get easy looks at the basket. And then as a result, their defense is struggling a little bit as well. So I think you saw that all on display in that game last night. And I think that leaves a lot of questions in folks' minds about whether or not we haven't been respecting the Milwaukee Bucks up until this point in the season. A lot of conversation about the Nets, a lot of conversation about the Bulls and the Heat, but we really haven't been talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. And I guess last night they decided that they wanted to make a statement.
You know what, Chris, is interesting about that is I don't think that's going to change either. Like, the interesting part about the Milwaukee Bucks phenomenon is we refuse to acknowledge it. And I think that's because a lot of it goes back to the Brooklyn Nets. Like, they're going to remain the most interesting traveling circus, in part because of Kyrie Irving, in part because of the overwhelming talent. But, I mean, hell, the night after we watched the Brooklyn Nets go on the road, so they had Kyrie Irving, and send a message to the top-seeded Chicago Bulls, this felt like return fire from the Bucks, but it's much like last year where they have now had a two-time MVP. Giannis went on, won it last year, won finals MVP, and we're still not going to treat them like a reigning champion with a target on their back here. If it's not going to happen now, Chris, I don't think it's going to happen ever, and part of me can spin that and say, hey, if you're Milwaukee, that's a huge win because you can get by until we get to the postseason, and then no one is going to add any more narrative pressure on you, especially now that Giannis is signing a long-term deal.
Yeah, Milwaukee's always going to be steady throughout the course of the regular season just because of the way Coach Bud has that group playing defense. From a game-in, game-out perspective, defensively, they're as consistent as anybody in all of basketball, so that's always going to be something that bodes well for them in the regular season. And then we know that Giannis has another gear in the postseason, and we're starting to get to the point where we trust Chris Middleton in big spots too, which is a change based on what we saw last playoffs as opposed to years in the past. So this is a Bucks team that's always going to be a live dog, man. Their superstar sets the tone for everything they do, and his mentality, his get-after-it attitude, I think is something that's always going to keep the Bucks in contention. So when you stack them up against the other teams at the top of the Eastern Conference, I mean, outside of the Brooklyn Nets, I would feel confident in a seven-game series picking the Milwaukee Bucks over any of those other teams.
I agree, and I think what's important about what we saw last night, too, is for the Bucks, by and large, we had the majority of the roster out there. Like, Chris, it's been such a rarity in this stretch where COVID's affected this league, maybe as much or more as any league in pro sports. And so night in, night out, we're just asking who the hell's on the court for most of these teams. And chances like this to legitimately evaluate this team. Because for Golden State on the other side, it's easy to say, hey, no Draymond Green out there, Klay Thompson just getting back into the lineup. There's a bunch of legitimate stuff as to why, hey, Golden State, in addition to Steph's problems, might not be operating at peak capacity right now. But you know how this is, especially, I mean, over the course of a long NBA season that's so different from what you've got in the NFL, it's about little moments like this that are kind of a barometer, these tune-ups, as you get now towards the trade deadline, but also over the halfway mark of the season games-wise.
Yeah, some things aren't excuses, they're just reasons, right? And
yeah,
you talked about it, missing Draymond, knowing that he facilitates a lot of the offense and he sets the tone for them defensively, and then trying to get Klay Thompson integrated to this new team with some of the new faces, Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole and some other guys, GP2, like all of this stuff is a work in progress. That's why I don't necessarily think it's time to hit the panic button for the Golden State Warriors. I still think they're one of the few true title contenders out of the entire NBA field, but I just look at this as a bump in the road, and Steve Kerr alluded to as much in the post game last night. But this is not a situation where you have to panic with Golden State. The last four or five games, they've been in a little bit of a slump. They haven't had the offense really start to click. They're not sharing the ball. They're not moving without the ball. And I think that's what led to the lack of productivity. throughout the last five games, they've only eclipsed 100 points once. So that's not what we're used to seeing from the Golden State Warriors. But I have a feeling that sooner rather than later, they're going to get this thing figured out, and they're going to start to become really, really scary again.
Yeah, last night was way more about the Milwaukee Bucks just reminding everybody, hey, we're still all the same guys. We did this with the football Bucks where we said, oh, man, they brought back damn near everybody off a championship team, and the basketball Bucks can't seem to buy that same level of gravitas. Apparently, Giannis has a little ways to go before he gets to Tom Brady status in all of this.
Mike,
now,
does that make you feel like we all think that last year was a fluke for the Bucks? Because of all the injuries and the COVID-impacted season and not having that interruption like we did 2 years ago, is that how we're looking at the Milwaukee Bucks championship? Yeah, they won it, but there were all these other issues that the true title contenders were dealing with, which kind of opened the door for them. Is that what we're saying right now?
No, because I still think at the end of the day, they went out and earned it in the same circumstances everybody else did. At the same time, we saw how thin the margin was, right? I mean, yep. Hell, Brooklyn was down to just Kevin Durant out there, and it still was a series that looked like for a while it could have tilted either way. So
it was a half a shoe size away from that series turning
right.
on. I'm just saying.
Yeah, so like we could look at all of that and be real. Like you said, they're not excuses. They're not taking away, but it's an understanding. We're still close enough contextually to remember the reality of that situation. Just like we can look at the bubble season and say, hey, for an older roster, for an older star in LeBron James, that break in the middle of the season and going into an environment where maturity was going to be prioritized certainly put them in a very advantageous position. They were still dealing with the most bat bleep crazy season that we'll see in quite some time, God willing. But they also had, especially with that roster, some things where it definitely helped it out. So you're right. I think there's realities of this that are probably reasons why we're selling them short. But at the end of the day, I just think it's because the Bucks. I think it's because we have a team in New York that has three of the biggest names in the sport and one of them who's a part-time player right now. Like, we're driving by the car wreck every day, and we can't help but rubberneck a little bit looking at the Brooklyn Nets and all of this. So that's what we've got going on in the National Basketball Association right now. Coming up next, let's get ready for maybe the biggest long shot in Super Wild Card Weekend. Are Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers really just going out here to have a little bit of fun? We'll get to that next here. Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We will get to the biggest long shot going into Super Wild Card Weekend, but we're always trying to learn more about our teammates here on the show, and we're sitting around, and like the internet just threw one of these dumb prompts at us yet again here, and I took the bait because I'm easy like that, and I saw this tweet, and it said, all right, red pill, blue pill, like the Matrix paradigm here. The blue pill, if you take that, you get $10 million in cash. If you take the red pill, you restart your life at 6 years old, but with all the knowledge that you have now. And we went around the room, we were asking everybody, and we asked our producer, Devin, and his immediate response, as soon as we said it, he goes, oh, red pill, easy, I could bet on every Super Bowl and be made. Like, Devin, we're worried about you, man. Like, this legalized gambling in Connecticut, I think, has taken over your life.
First of all, real quick, we know a pill Bart's taking, right?
The blue pill, no doubt.
All right, listen, to me this is a flawed question, right? So the option is go back to six with all the knowledge or $10 million. So, like, if you give me that option, my first thought is, how am I going to gain this money back that I'm giving up? So that's where my head is, right? Listen, you can
not
go back.
Like, hey, I can go back and see loved ones that have passed away, or, like, write my biggest regrets, go back and fix some of the relationships that I may be ruined and all of this. You said, no, I can bet the Super Bowl.
See, I know you're going to do that fairy tale stuff, Mike. Listen to me. Let me ask you a question, Michael. If you go back in time and you're 6 years old, you can do all that stuff that you talk about. Are you not also going to try to invest with the knowledge that you have to make more money?
Well, yeah. Like, okay. Obviously, that's okay. Like a part of this with everybody here. I'm more worried about, like, the existential dread because, like, to me, the best part of being a kid is being dumb and not knowing stuff. Like, I know my mortality now as a six-year-old. That's not okay with me.
Yeah, but you learn about mortality a couple years after six. Like, you know it a little bit earlier. That's all.
I don't know, man. It seems like going back to when you're 6 years old with all the knowledge that you have now could be a huge win, bro. Like, not only from a financial standpoint, but just think in terms of your social life and where you're going to school, all those different things. Like, I just feel like there's a lot more wins to be had doing it that way as opposed to the lump sum $10 million in cash.
I'm just saying, like, man, you go back in six and you have all this knowledge. There's no telling how much stuff you can screw up. And now all of a sudden you got to watch loved ones go by that maybe you don't actually stumble across here. Maybe you're not with the people you're with currently right now. You lose all them and have to watch them lead these parallel lives. That sounds like torture.
So you feel like you'd be doing too much because of the knowledge that you have at 6 years old.
I mean, guys, like, again, if we want to bring this back to money, how many stories do we read about lottery winners ended up dead within, like, 5 years of that money?
That's a
you
fair
give
point.
6-year That's old me point. The power to invest in Apple at an early age? I'm not living past 10.
Listen, forget Apple. I'm going Bitcoin, baby.
But what are you doing at 10 years old, though? That's the thing. You're still 10.
I'll really have to convince my parents very hard how we're going to invest this. I'm going to be like, hey, listen. We got this.
And you got to go back. You don't have the internet anymore. Like, you're back pre-flip phone right now, Dad. Like, guys, like,
times are simpler, Mike. That's kind of a blessing, yeah. Honestly. You know, we're so locked into our phones, so locked into the internet. That would be a blessing.
But, Dev, let's not bury the lead, though, because I think our concern is valid. Like, the first place that your mind went to was sports gambling.
Yes.
Like, you want to be the real-life version of Biff Tanner from Back to the Future 2 with the almanac. Like, that's where you went. So we feel like it's time for us to have an intervention on Canny and Golic Jr.
It's a valid concern, and I want to go over a three-team teaser that I have for you guys.
Yeah, I was going to say, coming up in a couple of minutes here, we will get you Devin's picks heading into the weekend. If you're looking to make some super wild card money, Dev has got some options for you here on Canny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. And honestly, one of them, Chris, could be long odds on the Pittsburgh Steelers because I feel like no one has given this team a chance here. I think they're the biggest dog of the weekend as well. Like, I think that's with good reason, Chris. I understand the Mike Tomlin factor and all this. Ben Roethlisberger out here sort of laughing to the media, defiantly so, that we don't have a chance and we're just happy to be here. But I just think we saw a team that looked like it was ready to be done after Ben's last home game. And I know they're playing with house money, and that can sometimes be dangerous. Deontay Johnson's going to be back. You've got a unanimous all-pro on the other side in TJ Watt. But, like, at some point, man, we watched this Kansas City team figure it out over a long season, and I cannot believe they're going to walk into this unprepared enough to let the Steelers hang around.
Yeah, but at the end of the season, Kansas City's defense was a little more suspect. You add to that a banged-up Chris Jones, and then on the offensive side of the ball, Tyreek Hill is dealing with a heel injury, and then Clyde Edwards-Helaire has got a banged-up shoulder. He practiced on Wednesday, didn't practice on Thursday, so we're waiting to see what happens with him today. So I could absolutely see the Kansas City Chiefs offense getting out to a little bit of a slower start, especially going up against that defense, knowing that the Steelers, game plan wise, can kind of narrow their focus in terms of who they're trying to slow down, who they're trying to stop. I'm not saying that Pittsburgh is going to win this game, but for Pittsburgh to be one of the biggest underdogs in the history of wild card weekend with Mike Tomlin as your head coach, with a championship caliber defense and a quarterback that's been there, done that, and got the T-shirt, I just feel like they might be doing a little bit too much with that line and not giving the Steelers enough credit.
Yeah, the Kansas City Chiefs are 12.5-point favorites. And listen, is that a little rich for my taste?
Yeah.
Based on the way the Kansas City spreads have looked like through the course of the season? Yeah, it probably is. And we'll get to talk. Ray McLeod, Steelers wide receiver, is going to join us coming up at 5:30 Eastern in the show here. And we can kind of gauge that because, Chris, we've heard from Ben Roethlisberger and all this. We've heard from Deontay Johnson, who was out here and basically went with the when, not if we win.
I like being in this situation because once we win, don't try to hop back on the bandwagon, because remember all that stuff you saying now. So
he's closing Steelers Island on everyone, Chris, right now. If you don't believe in us now, you don't get to hop on after Wild Card Weekend.
Yeah, and this is Big Ben playing those Jedi mind tricks earlier on in the week with his commentary, playing a little bit coy, trying to put all the pressure on the Kansas City Chiefs. Pat Mahomes responded to that saying, we're not taking them lightly, so we'll see what ends up happening. But for a Steelers team that's been there and they understand what this kind of season is about and what the playoffs are about, I got a lot of faith in what they're capable of doing in terms of being competitive.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want to hear from you, and we'll give you ours, the biggest wild card player heading into wild card weekend for a couple of teams next.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.